You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. The podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. And oh, it's about as good a Monday as you could ever possibly hope for. NBA regular season behind us. Masters magnificence this weekend. Baseball news I'm still not buying. All that and a whole lot more. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
There's the horn. OKC, the youngest NBA team in history to gain a number one seed going into postseason.
Supreme confidence in our team, you know, and how prepared we are walking into this week.
What an incredible year the Oklahoma City Thunder had. They wrap up the one seed in the West, as you heard there in the play-by-play. They are, by 2 years, the youngest team ever to be a one seed in the current playoff configuration, which, oh, by the way, dates back 40 years to 1984. So congratulations to them, and congratulations to SGA, who I think deserves to get serious consideration for MVP. I still haven't made up my mind if I'm going to vote for him, and I have to vote. This year, for some reason, they're going to let us know when to vote, and I haven't gotten that notification yet. I have the ballot, and I have a packet of information from our outstanding researcher, Matt Williams, who you know, that I will go over and I will cast my votes here pretty soon. At any rate, we're not here to talk about the Thunder. We're here to talk about how the Thunder winning yesterday might have screwed everything up for the greatest player of his generation. So LeBron James, Anthony Davis and company, last year made an improbable run from the play-in tournament all the way to the Western Conference Finals. I think the team they have this year is better than that. I think they have every bit as good a chance of going that deep, except for what happened yesterday. The Lakers face a really complicated decision because it goes against everything that anyone who loves sports stands for, to suggest that they should lose tomorrow night on purpose in their play-in game and thus fall out of the seven spot. To be clear, here's what would happen to them in that circumstance. They would then face the winner of the 9-10 game, which will either be Sacramento or Golden State, Friday night in Los Angeles. A one-game season. If they win that, then they would go in as the eighth seed and play the aforementioned unprecedentedly young Oklahoma City Thunder, rather than playing Mount Jokic and the insurmountable Denver Nuggets. So I ask you, should it come up? Should they have a meeting? Should LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Darvin Ham, and that entire group have a meeting and say, what do we want to do here, guys? You got to keep it small. Small circle to begin with. Coach, LeBron and AD, and no one else at first. Maybe the general manager, maybe the owner. You get together and you say, do we manufacture a way into the eighth seed as opposed to being the seven? I got everybody yelling at me on Get Up this morning because I suggested they should do it. But I don't think I'm crazy. I think it's something that has to at least be considered. Greeny live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The assembled members of the hashtag crew have assembled around me. Hembo, Bubba, Cam. Hembo, I start with you. What do you think?
I think you're out of your mind. You're encouraging that the Lakers throw a basketball game. Throw a basketball game. Can't throw a basketball game. Ethics, like, even if you exclude the ethics for the sake of the discussion, which I'm not willing to do, but even if you were to exclude the ethics, you can't convince me that you're better off setting yourself up for an elimination game against Steph Curry. That's the problem here. I agree with you that beating Oklahoma City is a much clearer path than beating Denver. But the downside is you create an elimination game for yourself in which you don't even make the playoffs, it's much too big of a risk.
Well, let me ask you a question. If this was tennis and you were in a similar situation and on one side of the bracket, you were going to have to play Roger Federer at his best. Let's just live in a world. I've just used him as an example because I think he's the most famous. So let's use Djokovic now as the best in the world, or Alcaraz, or whoever you want. But if you lost walking in, you would have to win one other match against someone who was not as good as you. And if you won that, you would get into the other half of the draw, where you might make it all the way to the final before you had to deal with that person. See, what you could say to yourself is, yeah, I might get knocked out before I make the draw, but at least I have a real chance. The objective is not making the playoffs. It's getting to the finals. It's winning the championship. You have no chance of doing that, in my opinion, if you draw Denver in the first round. What you have a chance of, if you wind up on the other side, is beating OKC, winning another series. That would be the 4-5 series winner. So that's the Clippers or the Mavericks. Now, I think the Mavericks are really good, but that's much more winnable than Denver. And hoping that along the way, maybe something happens to Denver. I don't like putting this stuff out into the ether, but if we're having this conversation, someone rolls an ankle, someone gets hurt. Any number of things might happen, and you wind up facing a more winnable series against Denver or not even facing them at all. So I'm willing to roll the dice that maybe I lose Friday night to Steph Curry and don't make the playoffs at all, because what the hell good is making the playoffs if I'm going to get swept by Denver in the first round?
Much easier to throw a tennis match. Much easier to throw a singles tennis match. It won't be nearly as obvious if you're doing that.
Well, you wouldn't. Let me make it very clear.
How do you pull it off? How do you pull it
you
off manufacturing
don't play
it?
Play LeBron or AD.
Then Adam Silver will have a conniption. You can't do that. You are approaching a place where you just can't go. I mean, you can go there.
Let me ask you a question. The last game of the NFL regular season, do they or do they not sit all their stars because it is advantageous to them to do so? Now, in their case, it is generally advantageous because they don't want to take a chance on injury more than it is they're better off losing than winning. But that could happen, and we would not say a word. So, look, I understand what you're saying. There's a part of me that is a little uncomfortable even bringing this up. But all I'm saying is, if you're the coach of that team, if you're the general manager, if you're the owner, does this thought not enter your mind?
I don't know if it enters your mind, but you definitely don't execute it. What you are suggesting...
You definitely don't execute it.
You definitely don't execute it.
You go out and you win tomorrow night.
What you are suggesting laughs in the face of the whole notion of sport and competition. You just can't do it. These guys, these people are wired very differently. I understand what you are saying. It's actually a very good conversation and a cogent argument. We have a better chance of winning the championship if we draw OKC in round one than if we draw Denver in round one. But there are too many landmines that you encounter along the way that I just can't get there.
Well, I'm much more open to hearing about the ethical landmine than I am the you're taking a chance on losing Friday landmine. To me, I'm not even considering that.
Tell me why.
Because A, I expect to win that game. It's in my building. I'm playing either Golden State or Sacramento. I expect to win that game. And B, as I said, if the prize for getting into the playoffs is playing Denver in round one, it's not something I'm so excited about losing out on.
But you're suggesting that drawing OKC in round one eliminates the possibility that you'll ever have to encounter Denver.
No, you're... I'm not saying anything of the kind.
Oh, yes, you
are.
I
just went through what I said, which is
something might happen is not a good enough reason. Something might happen is never a good enough reason.
You're telling me that the idea of getting into a bracket where you don't have to deal with them until the conference final isn't markedly preferable than playing, knowing for sure you are drawing them in the first round?
It's preferable, but there's also a logic trail that you can create and go down that says maybe catching Denver early is more advantageous for you because you're an older team anyway. You've got LeBron and Anthony Davis. They might be at their very best to start the playoffs.
Let me bring Cam and Bubba into this conversation as, again, the NBA regular season comes to an end. This is Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Bubba, for those of you who don't know this, by the way, Brendan Bubba Peregrine. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, hold on a second. Now, I'm not going to be able to go on. Cam, you cannot do this. Okay, so See, I'm hesitant because 90% of the audience, I don't know, I haven't done the research, but
probably 99.
Something like 99% of the people who are listening to this conversation are doing just that. They're just listening to this conversation. They're not seeing it. But you can see it. And we're on the ESPN app, and you can watch the show. You can watch it anytime you want. And our TV director just cut to a shot of Cam for the first time this morning. And Cam, who I have described on multiple occasions as a handsome young man, when he had the long hair, when he had the beard, he had kind of a Kevin Jonas thing working, which I thought was a good look. And then he cut all his hair and his beard off. He looked like he looked ridiculous, but at least that was going to grow back. And now they just pop him up, and he is wearing a mustache that there's really only one way to describe it. And I apologize in advance because this is not, it's a somewhat indelicate, but you look like the male lead in a pornographic film. You do understand that, right? Like that's the look you have. That's, you just walked in and said, yes, I understand someone needs to come in and fix your dishwasher.
And the printer's broken.
And then,
is the best part always.
All sorts of other madness ensues. And I will just leave it at that for the benefit of all the people who have kids in their cars and all the rest of it.
Smart.
But I say this, Cam, because someone has to, and I like you. Did you lose a bet? That's the only question I have. Did you lose a wager? Because the mustache that you are wearing today can only be acceptable if it is the result of a lost wager.
No, it is not a lost bet. And you do ask me that every time I had a mustache. Last year you asked me that. When I shaved my head, you asked me that. Just trying something out for a couple days. I shaved the beard. The mustache was still there, and I decided, let's keep it for a few days. We'll see how it goes.
You say that. When you say, I shaved the beard, the mustache was still there, you say that as though it was something out of your control.
Yeah, it was against my will.
like, oh my goodness, I shaved the beard, but the mustache was still there. No. That, to be clear, for anyone listening to the show who is not of shaving knowledge.
It's up to you what you shave.
Yeah, you can shave anything you want. So, like, I mean, I'm a man, I come to you, I speak to you today as a man who once had his nostrils waxed.
Recently.
So, yes, it was not that, it was this calendar year.
And paid for it.
And I still regret it. But seriously, Cam, I mean, how do you think it looks?
I prefer how I look without it, but that doesn't mean it's going to stay forever. Just a look I'm trying out. And
that's
then
always
we'll,
a great thing to say.
We'll move on back to regular old Cam.
I prefer how I look without it, but I'll come into work with
tried
it
out.
Day.
Bubba, how do you feel about it?
I mean, it's a jarring look to come in, and all of a sudden I see him with a mustache. But
I've gotten a lot of officers today.
You look a little bit. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
That's what Nuno said to him. He said he looks like a police officer from a movie.
He also said, what the hell is this guy doing? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's certainly interesting. But I mean, I'm just, like, to Cam's point, I've just come to expect it at this point. He's going to come with a mustache, and 6 months later, he's going to shave his head.
It's not a face tattoo. I'm going to shave it off in a few days.
We're getting close to that.
If I get a face tattoo, I'll accept any criticism coming my way.
It does feel like the logical next step.
Yeah. Exactly. We're getting there.
My breakdown is unfolding. That's next.
Here's a reason I am particularly interested in this. Because for those of you who haven't seen it, Aaron Rodgers strolled majestically into the Jets facility today for the first day of the offseason program, which is exactly where you want him to be if you are a Jet fan. And he has a very thick mustache, quite similar, I would say, to the one that Cam has today. Now, I don't think it's that flattering, but I'm not going to tell Aaron Rodgers how he should look. That's not my place. My place is to tell Cam how he should look.
Right.
But I am willing, if it will exorcise the demons, I'm willing to have that mustache. I will replicate. I could just shave the beard and leave just the mustache. I will replicate that for the season if Aaron promises me he's going to leave it. The problem is, if I do that and then he shaves the mustache on a Tuesday, it's going to take me a while to get the rest of the beard back. So I need that. Do you understand what I'm saying, Bubba? I need him to promise that he's going to leave the mustache, and then I will do it.
Right.
I will
or
do
at least
it.
He needs to give you the heads up. Let's all do it.
I couldn't grow that.
Meaning you're not, you're like, just not capable?
Like I physically couldn't.
I already have it going around, so I can just shave tomorrow.
Have you ever just worn a mustache by itself?
No. I mean, maybe in a costume.
But never like willingly in your life the way that Cam just did.
No. I mean, I think I was Groucho Marx for Halloween one
That's
year.
That's a dated reference.
That's what I'm prepping for.
It's a startlingly dated reference. I understand that. Okay. Anyway, this distracted me from where I wanted to go. We'll try and remember where that was. Plus, we got an early Hembo trivia today. Let's go.
Yes. Who was the last player to win the NBA scoring title and an NBA title in the same season? The last player to win the scoring title in the same year in which his team won the championship.
That's an excellent question, and the answer is next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll get to Hembo's answer in a minute. I just posted something I want everybody to see, and it isn't a picture of Cam with his mustache. I wouldn't do that to my followers, so I'm not putting that up anywhere. All that and a whole lot more after these 30 seconds to remind you that for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hembo's got a good trivia question. Go.
Yes. Who is the last player to win the scoring title and the NBA title, his team, of course, in the same season, the last scoring champion to win the NBA title?
I like this one. I have a slightly off-the-board answer, so I'll save mine. Bubba, who's yours?
Yeah, I don't have a great one. I'm just going to go back to old Michael Jordan.
Yeah. And just Jordan would certainly have it.
So it just hasn't happened since him. I'm sure it has, and I can't think of anyone great to guess.
Cam?
I'm going with Dwayne Wade in 2006.
Huh. I hadn't thought of him. I don't remember Wade leading the league in scoring. He obviously had a great year. So I don't think it's him. Did you get a guess from... who else did you get a guess from?
Pineapple Jack is guessing Shaq.
Okay, that's mine too. So I thought the obvious one would be Kobe. I thought people would say Kobe those last 2 years that they won championships. He certainly could have led the league in scoring in either or both of those years. He certainly did at least once in his career. But I remember the year Shaq won the MVP, and it was a very big deal, and he went nuts, and that would have been in one of their three championship-winning series. And so because I thought it was a little sneakier than Kobe, I'm also going Shaq. And the answer is?
Shaq.
All right. Oh.
Attaboy, Jack.
In 2000. So that was the first of the three-peat.
Correct.
Shaq's MVP season.
They played Jalen that year. They played Indiana.
Mm-hmm. And Shaq won the scoring title that season.
Yeah. I just knew Kobe was too obvious. Like it felt like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant would be the two guesses everyone would have. And so I wanted to go a little differently.
Yeah, Kobe's scoring titles came in 06 and 07 when the team was kind of down in between Shaq and Pau Gasol.
And then they won in 8 and 9?
They won, yes. Correct. So, very okay. Well done.
Very good. Well done.
It's going to be a good week.
Okay, I'm very happy with that. Now, before I get on to anything else, I would just like to point out that we had something happen on Get Up this morning that I was really unhappy about. And that is as follows. When you host a show, one of the things that you should have the right to do is feel good about yourself. Today, at one moment in time in our studio, we had Tim Legler, Alan Hahn, Chinea Gumbuke, and Andrea Carter. And what they all have in common is they are all taller than me. And they took us and they moved us to what we call the South Wall, which is this, if you watch Get Up, you know the standing area. And they had us all stand. And then in the final moment, because I made reference to the fact that it was a little bit, I don't know what the right word is. It made me feel a little something. It made me, what's the expression? It made me feel some kind of way that I was definitively the shortest person standing there. The director, Cindy Morello, because she is so great, had them all gather around in place behind me. And Chinea Gumbuke is so much taller than me that in the photo, she doesn't look it because she's actually ducking down behind me. She's reading the teleprompter over my head. So I've posted this photo on my Instagram. You can go to @ESPNGreeny on Instagram, and you can see this photo. And I captioned it, "It's Make the Host Feel Short Day." And so from now on, Hembo is one of the producers on that show. I want you to be in charge of making sure that if we have a day like this, we book Graziano. That's who we need, because we had Jeremy Fowler in as our NFL insider today, and he's not in the photo, but he's like 6'5".
Sneaky tall.
I need Graz. I need Kimberly Martin. I need someone shorter than me in that shot. I look so small. Like it is, when you're the host of a show, you want to feel big and powerful and all knowing, and I'm in charge of this and that. And you look around and you're like, I'm like a child in a forest filled with these gigantic humans. And it made me feel very bad about myself.
I mean, Andrea Carter is like a point guard. And she's taller than you.
But she's in heels. I don't think, I think if we were just both, if we were to go back to back and in bare feet, I think I might have her by like an inch, but she's in heels. So she is definitively taller than
me. I have to admit something. Bubba, when I first met Greeny about 10 years ago, you were bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
A lot bigger than I thought.
I used to get that a lot because I sat next to Golic and he was enormous. And so I looked very small next to him. But I am a normal sized person. I think I'm bigger than average size. At my apex, I was 5'11 and 3/4".
You're meaning your apex.
I have shrunk. Startlingly, I have shrunken.
You shrunk?
This is what happens when you get older. I'm now 5'11 and 1/4".
You've lost half an inch.
I've lost half an inch.
Since your apex.
Wow. I've lost 2/4 of an inch from my career best.
And how are you weight-wise?
I've lost 7 pounds in the last little while here.
So down 7 pounds, yes. Down half an inch.
That's exactly right.
I think there's only one answer here.
It's going in that direction. What is the answer?
You got to start wearing heels.
That's a consideration, or at least I could stand on a box, but yeah. I do not want to be the shortest person on my own set.
At least you could be taller than Andrea. Like, you only need a little bit of platform heels to be her. You're not beating Alan Hahn. He's like 6'6".
Well, that whole thing upset me greatly. Anyway, let's go back to where we got sidetracked from. We were just waylaid by Cam's mustache. I blame Cam. Let me go to Bubba. If you're the coach of the Lakers, who would initiate this? Would it be the coach? Would it be the owner? Would it be the general manager? Would it be LeBron?
I mean, only a talk show host would initiate it. This is not actually a serious thing that they're talking about.
You don't think that at any point that conversation comes up amongst someone in that organization?
I think this is exclusively a media creation, and you are the one creating it. This will be talked about little to none in the Lakers locker room, in the Lakers front office, and a lot on shows like these. It's an interesting question, but that's the difference between what's happening and what we're doing. We're just talking about stuff. There's no way that they're actually considering throwing an NBA game.
This stuff is our progressive NBA snapshot. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. You keep using the word throwing, and I understand that it's indistinguishable. What I'm saying and what you're saying are indistinguishable from each other. But what I'm talking about is not throwing. Sounds incredibly nefarious. It sounds like we're gamblers and we're trying to lose because we're trying. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about trying to create the most. Okay, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example of something that actually happened in tennis. They play. There are some tournaments. I'm not sure if they have them anymore. There have to still be some where they play what's called a round robin. Are you familiar with the round robin format? So for anyone who is not, a round robin format in tennis, which they used to play. When I was a kid, I was a huge tennis fan. And my mother would take me every year to the Volvo Masters, which was like the season-ending event. I want to say it was in December, or maybe it was in January, starting the next year. I forget what it was. But the top players, whoever had finished, like the top eight players in the world, would qualify for this event, and there was big money. So you would go, and you would see, in those days, Jimmy Connors and John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg and Yvonne Lendl and whoever else were the best players in the world. And they would play, first they would play a round robin. So everyone within a group would play each other, kind of like the way they do in soccer, like in the World Cup, right? You play like within your group, and then two people would advance from the group. The person with the most points and the person with the second most points would advance from the group and then would play the first and second finishers from the other side. That's how this tournament works. So I'm a kid, and we go see this match, and I can't remember now who he was playing. But Yvonne Lendl was going to win his group and was guaranteed of moving on into the next round, whether he won or lost his last match, which happened to be the day we went. And so he noticeably tanked his match. Like, a tennis player can easily not win if they're trying not to win. Lost in straight sets to whoever he was playing, I forget now, to avoid playing Borg in the first round of the semifinals. Like, the first and second seed would advance, and one would play two, and one would play two, right? So however it worked, Lendl was able to avoid Borg by losing. And the day that I went, so this is why I've always been mad about this, because the one day that I get to go watch these tennis players play in person, that he wasn't trying as hard as he could to win. But put that aside for a minute. Did he tank that match, or was he exercising strategy in order to try and further his chances of winning the event?
He did both, but it's so much more difficult to pull this off in some good faith in a team sport, especially in a team sport in which hundreds of thousands of dollars could potentially change hands based upon your decision. In the NBA,
well, I don't know what you mean by that. Where tennis is the same thing. It was a legitimate event?
No, we're living in a much different world now. I mean, the NBA has all sorts of gambling partners now, and you're telling me that the Lakers should manufacture a loss? That's a much more difficult thing for you to sell, especially to those people that are paying to see the Lakers win also, mind you.
Well,
like,
I paid
like
to
you
see
and Yvonne Lendl,
tennis match.
And you're still mad about it 40 years later.
Right.
And you also hate load management.
I'm not pretending. Yeah, so I do hate load management, but you know why I hate it? Because it works. The reason I hate tanking and resting and all these things is because they work, because they make sense. Teams don't do them because they're selfish. Teams don't do them because they want to screw the public. They do them because they feel it is maximizing their chance of winning. And I believe the Lakers losing tomorrow night, let's start with that as a premise. Bubba, do you agree with this premise? The Lakers have a better chance of winning the NBA championship if they lose tomorrow night than if they win tomorrow night. Do you just, as a premise unto itself, do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So if we accept that as the premise, Cam, then tell me why it would be so wrong. I'm sorry. Can we not show him? I'm sorry. I'm trying to have a serious conversation here. I can't take this seriously. We have to just take... Thank you. Thank you for killing his camera. In fact, I would like it removed from his studio.
I think he needs to shave now.
Yeah, or something. But anyway, can you put on a mask? Something like that. Anyway, Cam, do you agree with the premise?
I do not.
You think the Lakers have a better chance of winning the NBA championship if they win tomorrow night than lose?
Yes, because
take me through that.
They're not going into an elimination game against probably Steph Curry or the Kings, who kind of own Anthony Davis and the Lakers in the past few years. They're slightly putting themselves in a better position if they get out of that, But you're not only trying to maximize winning the championship, you're trying to maximize not getting eliminated from the playoffs.
I don't know that. I mean, because those aren't necessarily the same thing. So if your goal is to make sure, why are you laughing? Oh, they've cut him off. Oh, that's well done. Sorry, we keep sidetracking the conversation, but now our television crew has just removed his shot.
We can't show Cam.
And now he's got a mask on. Well done. You will both not get the coronavirus,
that's huge.
And you will no longer distract the show with your ridiculous facial hair. So, Hembo, when the Lakers win tomorrow night,
mm-hmm.
and then they get swept by Denver,
mm-hmm.
what will you say to me?
I will say to you that they still did the right thing in the play-in. They still did the right thing in the play-in. You're creating a false binary. The Lakers are not choosing between going to the NBA Finals or winning tomorrow night. They are much likelier to lose to Sacramento or Golden State than they are to beat Denver later. Like, if you're going to have to slay the dragon, you might as well slay them at the beginning of the playoffs when Anthony Davis and LeBron James haven't accrued all that mileage and they're a little bit more fresh. It's eminently unlikely anyway that they go to the finals. I don't really care much when I get Denver. That's how I would put it.
I mean, that's an argument I like better, which is to say, just telling me that they shouldn't do it because they shouldn't do it is different to me than saying, I don't think that the strategy works anyway.
You're gonna hear people say things to the effect of, oh, don't tempt the basketball gods, and right. you could never do that because it's not what players like this do. This is not what pro athletes do. It's not how they think. Like, those things are kind of fluffy. Like, those things don't actually matter. Like, I don't care what the basketball gods think about those.
Well, like, players sit out games all the time. Like, they don't treat every
not a effective playoff game.
No, I understand. This would be okay. Well, let me throw this at you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old enough to remember when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the NBA Finals 1980, when the Lakers had taken a 3-2 lead over the Sixers, got hurt. I think he twisted his ankle in Game 5. They decided not to travel him east so that he would have the best chance possible, for all intents and purposes, tanking Game 6 in order to try and win it back home in 7. And historically, Magic Johnson wound up, as a rookie, jumping center for that game, scoring, I want to say, 42 points and 15 rebounds, and they won anyway. But my point is, they were willing to lose a battle in order to try and win the war. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't want people to mistake what I'm saying. I hate tanking. I hate throwing games. Everyone should hate throwing games. It shouldn't even be part of the vernacular. What I'm saying is sometimes losing a battle is the best way to win a war, and if there was a way of them doing it without it being just the worst thing ever, which I grant you it would be, then I think they'd be crazy not to do it.
What is likelier? The Lakers lose an elimination game to Sacramento or Golden State, or the Lakers beat the Nuggets later on in the playoffs in a 7-game series?
I guess it's likelier that they lose the game Friday night.
By a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot likelier. Who's to say that the Lakers, at the beginning of the playoffs, aren't better equipped to handle Denver? Remember last year, they played 4 close games but lost all 4 to Denver. Denver's better. Denver matches up better. But the Lakers have ended the season really strongly. Their 2 best players are ancient, or at least play ancient, and you catch the Nuggets earlier in the playoffs, maybe that gives you a better shot at it. We know what it looks like playing Denver in the conference finals. I think you, as the Lakers, are likelier to experience attrition in the playoffs than Denver is.
That's true. But if you get that, you have no chance anyway. Like, look.
That's true, too.
So you're telling me there's no way they lose tomorrow night. Like,
no, I'm not telling
you. They could lose anyway.
They could lose anyway. But I think there is almost no chance that a collection of professional athletes and an NBA organization manufactures a loss in a game in which they then put their backs up against the wall. That, I think, is exceedingly unlikely. They are much likelier to beat OKC in round 1 than they would Denver, but I still don't think they'll go all the way like you're saying.
By the way, little news here. Devontae Smith and the Eagles, an extension keeps him in Philly through 2028.
Woo!
I don't see the numbers. I mean, I don't see the money. But I see the numbers, or I see that he is assigned there. So just a little news while we go. Once again, my photo is up on Instagram, at ESPN Greeny, of me being made to look short on my own show, which I think was inappropriate, and I have a problem with it. That said, coming up next, I'm going to make a comparison that I never thought would be possible. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast. This is Greeny.
I was supposed to play golf with a buddy of mine today, and something came up I'm not going to be able to make. I text, I can't make it today. I really hope you can find someone else to play. Let's do it next week. He texts me back at 7:59. What happens at 8 o'clock? I start my TV. So I just very quickly wrote back, sorry, my man, before realizing I had typed in an L and an A, auto-corrected, sorry, my lamb. Old English, like a term you might use for like your sweetheart. And I haven't heard back.
This is Greeny.
Yeah, I saw him Friday. That's Jared Efron, my buddy. I called him my lamb. He still thinks it's funny. So he calls himself my lamb now.
It is funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It was, it was quite a moment. And golf, look, golf is my favorite sport. I love it more than I love anything, even though my passion for watching the professional game has been somewhat, not stymied, but certainly has been adversely impacted by what has gone on in this split between the LIV and the PGA Tours. There's still nothing I love more than the Masters, and this weekend was a great example of that. There's no better. If you ask me, design the best weekend you could ever possibly have, I just had it. I played golf Saturday morning, and I watched the Masters all Saturday afternoon. I played golf Sunday morning, and I watched the Masters all Sunday afternoon. And I emerged with the following sentiment. In fact, I see Cam put my tweet in here. Scottie Scheffler is approaching that aura of inevitability that Tiger once occupied, just much better than everybody else, can win without playing his A game, which he did at times this weekend. Until further notice, he's the one to beat at every major. Now, Twitter is a complicated medium because people will read your words and they will then immediately infer all sorts of things that you are not implying. So in no way am I implying that Scottie Scheffler is the next Tiger Woods. I don't know that we will see anyone like Tiger Woods again. His level of dominance of the sport was unprecedented. He was better over a decade or whatever that period was, from 97 to 2008. He was better in that stretch than Jack Nicklaus ever was in a 10-year period, than Ben Hogan ever was, Bobby Jones ever was, Sam Snead, Byron Nelson, Arnold Palmer, anyone else you want. We will not see that. I don't expect to see that again. But what Scheffler does have now is, as I wrote very literally, an aura of inevitability. There was not one moment yesterday, and I was rooting for Homa because he's just never won a major, and I'd love to see him win one. I just think he's a likable person. I've never met him. I like Morikawa, too. I was kind of rooting for him. Scheffler has now entered that range where, as much as I love him and love his game, I'm actively rooting for someone to beat him because it just doesn't look like anybody can. Now, the one kid who I think might have some chance is this Ludvig Åberg, who is a 24-year-old from Texas Tech, but he's Swedish, and he just turned pro this year, and he's the goods. That kid is going to be unbelievably good, but that's much too soon to start anointing him anything. Scottie Scheffler has entered that realm where he is the significant favorite going into every major championship until further notice. And he can beat you without playing his best. He went through stretches both Saturday and Sunday where I'm thinking, well, he didn't look right. Yesterday, his on the front nine, his irons, he couldn't figure out how far he was going to hit anything. But I think his presence has an impact on everybody else. I think those guys all know how good he is. And so Morikawa makes huge mistakes. Even Oberg made a huge mistake on 11. For anyone who watched it, you know what I'm talking about. You hit it in the hit the ball in the water on 11. You deserve what happens to you. And Homa, whose mistake was really not like that. Homa missed his spot on 12 by about 3 feet. And the punishment for it did not fit the crime. I mean, he got the worst bounce I've ever seen. But that's the game. You know, sometimes you get a good bounce from a you get a good bounce off a bad shot. And sometimes you get a bad bounce off a good shot. And that's what happened to him. But whatever, the point is that much like was the case with Tiger, his rivals just start falling away. They just start dropping by the wayside. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it's because Scheffler has that impact. He's that good. And so in that regard, he is the next Tiger Woods.
Yeah, he's better than the field right now. And he's better than the field right now by a lot. He's got 9 wins over the last 3 seasons. No other player on tour has more than 5. Over that span. Since the start of 2022, Scheffler's played the majors at 47 under, which is 10 strokes better than anyone else during that time. And lastly...
Who's next? Does it say?
Rory's next.
Okay.
He's 10 strokes off Scheffler.
And he's won none of them, parenthetically.
Yes, he's won none of them.
Rory has won none of them in that time, and Scheffler has won 2 Masters.
And I'm looking at the odds for the PGA, which is the next one on the calendar. Scotty's at 4.5 to 1 right now to win that event. Next up are Jon Rahm and Rory. At 12 to 1, I mean, a huge gap. Anytime you reference Tiger Woods, anytime you compare someone to Tiger Woods, people freak out. But I read your tweet, not to equate the two of them, but to compare the two of them. And from that standpoint, I do think that Scotty had a Tiger Woods like effect on the field this weekend.
Yeah, the inevitability of it. Not only do you feel it at home, but I think the players on the course feel it. I need to do something special if I'm going to beat this guy. So I'm Morikawa, and I try and hit an impossible shot on 9. I'm Morikawa, and although my chance was probably already done, and maybe by that point he was best off taking a ridiculous risk, but he goes for the pin on 11, and Oberg went for the pin on 11. Again, Homa's one big mistake really wasn't that big a mistake, but one, there were 3 guys who had a chance to beat him, and then, like, in the blink of an eye, no one had it. There was a 4-way tie at the top of the leaderboard at this event, and in a span of about 3 holes, it was over. I mean, completely over, because all 3 of them made double, I mean, they quite literally made double bogeys. Morikawa made 2 of them, and Scheffler just was marching on like the Terminator that he is.
You're much more attuned to the technical side of golf than I am. Tell me why Scotty has sustainability. Tell me why his game is going to yield a bunch more major championship results in the next few years.
Because he combines the 2 greatest things you have in the sport. The one thing he doesn't have is he's not an elite putter. If he makes putts, no one can beat him. But if you watched yesterday, you watch Colin Morikawa where the ball winds up off the tee when he hits it, and then where it winds up off the tee when Scheffler hits it, and he's also incredibly precise. Like, Morikawa is the most precise iron player. I'm not sure if the stats back this up anymore, but he's ridiculously precise. Scheffler has that now, and Scheffler also has a great demeanor. Like, the demeanor is such a huge part of it. Like, if you watch Tyrrell Hatton yesterday, like, you know, behaving like he's John McEnroe on a golf course, and you watch Scheffler, his facial expression never changes. Someone had to tell him to be excited when he won. Like, his caddy came over. He's still got that kind of hangdog look on his face after he makes the tap-in to win the Masters. And his caddy, and part of that is his wife isn't there to run out onto the 18th green with him. For those who didn't see, his wife is expecting, and the doctor didn't let her travel. So, like, his caddy kind of walks over, and it looks like his caddy's like, hey, by the way, you just won, you know? And then all of a sudden, okay, now Scotty gets emotional. But he's so even-keeled and focused in the way that I think is extremely important in golf.
Yeah, you see a lot of Derek Jeter on his face when he's playing. The greatness of Jeter was not that he was greater in the postseason than it was in the regular season. The genius of Derek Jeter is that he was the same, exactly the same, whether it was April 15th or October the 15th. And watching Scotty play yesterday, that's kind of the vibe that I was
getting. An incredible stat that Trevor Immelman gave us at the very beginning. Yesterday was the first time the final pairing at the Masters were 2 players in their 20s, both of whom had already won major championships, since Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player
in the mid-60s. Special day. Be right back on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.